I think if you've been paying attention to the work that I've been doing for any length of time, it is quite obvious that I do a lot of different things. I have a lot of different trainings, a lot of different certifications, and the nicest way to say what I do is to say that I work in a cornucopia or a buffet table of modalities. And I heard another podcast, another spiritual person who does a lot of the same work I do, use that same language, a buffet table. And I'm not going to lie, I like buffets. I think that's a great way to sample a lot of different things and find out what you like, especially if you're at a new-to-you restaurant. And in the world of spirituality and the world of mental health and self-help, there's a lot of overlap, a lot of different modalities, and it can be hard to find the ones that work for you. So a buffet table is great, and in this show, I'm going to talk to you about why I like to sample from the buffet table when it comes to my spiritual and practical modalities.
You're listening to Feathermane Soul Wisdom, a podcast designed for people looking to live embodied lives and find their authentic selves. This show is hosted by Kit Kailstow, body theologian and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to get in touch with your inner spirit, then this show is for you. Thanks for listening. And now, this week's show.
Hi, it's Kit Kailstow of Feathermane Soul and Feathermane Soul Wisdom. And this is a topic that I've wanted to talk about for a while now. And this is the B part of the episode that I'm recording after coming back from my hiatus. And so if you've listened to the little snippet that came out probably the end of September, you'll know I've been on hiatus. I've been working on some things behind the scenes. And one of the big questions that I have been working on for myself personally is, how do I communicate all the various things I do and how they work together? And how do I do that in a way that makes sense? Because let me be honest, in my brain, it totally makes sense. And this is a problem that a lot of writers have. Being a fiction writer, you can write a story and the story makes complete and total sense. And you understand the world. And if it's fantasy or there's magic or there's science fiction, you understand the mechanics behind the world. And all of that sounds great in your head, but when you try to explain it to somebody, you're just met with blank stares and, what the heck was that? Very common problem to authors, very common problem that I run into as an editor, as a book coach, that, you know what's going on in your head. You live with this story, you live with these characters. Communicating it is another thing. Well, spiritual modalities are very much the same. So let me kind of briefly recap. My emphasis is on yoga, yoga philosophy, yoga spirituality, but mostly yoga philosophy and meditation. I am also Reiki trained. I am trained in tapping, which I don't use as much. And then I also have my religious studies master's degree that I'll be finishing up here in a couple of months. And hopefully I'll be able to take the one class I need to take to finish up my psychology bachelor's degree. Honestly, if I had all of the time and money in the world, there's some other degrees I'd go for. Alas, college is not free, and I cannot continue my education probably past the master's. I was really hoping for a PhD, really wanted to be called doctor. But I don't think that's in the cards for me right now, and that's okay. But I have a wide-ranging background. So as part of the yoga philosophy, the spiritual counseling, the spiritual storytelling, I also bring in a lot of wisdom from my horses and from the natural world. And so, I could count them off on my fingers, but that's like five different things. So we've got horses, yoga, Reiki, meditation, mindfulness, spiritual storytelling. Well, I'm over five now. So yeah, I'm doing a lot. And again, in my brain, the way my brain works, the way my neurodivergence, my multiple neurodivergences work, that all makes complete and total sense to me. My job is to communicate why that makes sense to you. And that's where the buffet table comes in. So I heard, you know, I'm not going to lie. I heard another podcast talk about the spiritual buffet table and I got it. I mean, I knew what a buffet table was. I like buffet tables. We don't have a lot of them here in the town where I live, but the Chinese restaurant has a buffet and it's kind of nice because you can try a bunch of different dishes. Although I do have my favorites that I get. So why a spiritual buffet table? Let's just sit with that question for a moment. A lot of people, especially if you are in a monotheistic religion, especially if you are in one of the more mainstream religions here in America, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, if you are in one of those religions, then you pretty much, the table that you are going to serve yourself from is that table. So I'm a pagan, although again, I've talked about this before. I just always like to reiterate, when I talk about spirituality, I am not talking about any specific organized, or in the case of paganism, unorganized religion. I'm not talking about religion per se, but to me, spirituality is that connection to where you feel connected to the world, to the planet, to the other creatures on the planet, whether that's nature, whether that's your own pets or companion animals, as well as the other people on the planet. And again, in terms of people, just like with the animals, they may be people you live with, spouse, family members, friends, or it could be being connected in a global community and understanding your place in that global community. So to me, it's a very spiritual thing to realize that there is a large part of the world that is in the global majority that I am not a part of. And I am okay with that. I also am okay with unpacking what comes with that, because to me, that's part of the spiritual process and that's part of my spiritual storytelling. That's going to probably be a topic for another podcast. That's getting a little far afield of our buffet table here, but it's all related. And that's where the buffet table comes in. When you start unpacking your spiritual stories, the spiritual storytelling, and you start thinking about what role spirituality plays in your life, what messages other people's spirituality you may have internalized, what messages from your family spirituality, maybe you grew up in a spiritual environment that's different than what you live in now. What messages did you internalize from that? All of that is spiritual storytelling. And all of that spiritual storytelling is just one piece. And in fact, I would argue one tiny piece, but a very important piece of your own personal stories. So that, and that spiritual storytelling piece is going to impact the stories that come along from whether you're neurodivergent or not. If you're chronically ill or disabled, like I am, that's going to come with its own set of internalized stories and what stories you tell yourself around that, and your gender, your sexuality, your gender identity, how you feel that gender in your body. All of that goes along with your spiritual storytelling. You can't separate one from the other. They are all intersectional. And that is where I think spiritual storytelling really does its biggest power, is that it helps you see just how intersectional all of that is. And again, I could take one piece of this and dive into a whole new podcast with it. And so I guess I just want to say I am barely scraping the surface here. My goal is to discuss the buffet table and why I believe we should serve ourselves from a spiritual buffet table. And I think the answer is in just what I said, that our spiritual stories that we tell ourselves, that we've internalized from other people, are intersectional. And so it is not a pathology. And I guess that's one of my biggest beefs with like mental health care, because when you start looking at mental health, whether it's mental health and its interactions with, you know, socioeconomic systemic issues, whether it's mental health and neurodivergence and how you were treated and trauma, you can't take a one-size-fits-all attitude for any of that. And so the spiritual buffet table basically reminds us that there's not a one-size-fits-all attitude for our spiritual story. And so just to use kind of my example for a moment, so the times when I want to meditate or use pranayama breathing practices or meditative breathing practices, those are quite often different than when I want to do yoga or when I want to actually engage in some of my studies. And there are times when none of that works and I need to actually go unplug. I did that last night. I was like, okay, I'm just going to shut down the computer and read for an hour before I cook dinner. And that was like the best thing ever. I had not done that in months. And I was like, oh man, I needed that. And so the spiritual buffet table is like that. Sometimes you actually need to move your body. You need to connect with your body and feel your body and actually inhabit your body and be embodied. And that's where yoga comes in handy. I love yoga. I've recently been recording some Circle of Joy practices for a talk I'm going to give next month. And I'll be sharing them hopefully by the end of the year with you guys as well. So that physical yoga practice is good for just getting you out of your head. And it's good for getting you into your body and inhabiting your body and being with your body. The times when I'm using meditation or focusing on my breath, usually I could be trying to wind down to go to sleep. It could be when I realize that I just feel that my nervous system is activated, that my nerves feel really jangled, and I just need to calm and be for a little bit. It also could be a conscious decision to do more meditation, to do more sitting with myself, and again, to be comfortable just being existing as myself. And so we could go from there. Well, when do I use Reiki? Well, I use Reiki a lot of times to calm down. I use Reiki in conjunction with meditative practices. I use Reiki as a way to deepen my relationship with my companion animals. I've got some senior kitties. They like to cuddle against me in the evenings. And so that's a great time for me to be sending them Reiki and to be focusing on that aspect of our relationship. And then there are times when I want to actually deepen my intellectual study. And that can be calming and relaxing too. I'm going to admit it. I'm a geek, I'm a nerd, whatever, you know, I know there's a difference there, but whatever term you want to use, I love to learn. And I love to learn about my special interests and spirituality, religion, yoga philosophy is all part of that. And so I have got stacks of books, so many books to read. College is great for that because you read the footnotes and you think, oh, that sounds interesting, or oh, I should check that out. All of that is a spiritual buffet table. And I would broaden the buffet table even more. A walk in nature. And that walk in nature could be a city park. It could be walking along a block and noticing the trees or noticing the weeds that are coming through the sidewalk, noticing what birds are in the vicinity. That is all part of the spiritual buffet table. Looking up at the stars at night. you know, one of the projects here on the homestead that my spouse and I are looking at is thinking about building a platform so we can stargaze, because that's something that he really enjoys. And that's something I enjoy as well, albeit I don't know as much as he does. But I like, you know, looking at the stars, looking through a telescope, having different things pointed out. And again, there is nothing that will make you feel so small and insignificant as looking up at stars and realizing that they are thousands and thousands and thousands of light years away. So I think all of that is part of that spiritual buffet table. And that's why I like talking about that buffet table, because my main goal is to help you with your spiritual story. And part of that is to simply broaden the definition of spiritual. I think too often we get stuck thinking that spiritual means religious, full stop, end of story. And it doesn't. Spiritual does not mean religious. And when you look up the word in a dictionary, the definition even will specifically say that spiritual is not religious or doesn't have to be religious. But there's a difference between spiritual and religion. There is a difference between sacred and spiritual. I'm reading a book right now. I won't go into it because it could have some triggering topics. But it talks very much about that these people's religion helps them with the work that they do, although they do not see the workplace as sacred, even though the company that they work for is trying very hard to join the sacred in the workplace. And I know that's something that my college is trying to push as well, I think, to make people, make legislators probably more specifically, see that religious studies isn't just the study of religion, but rather it helps business, it helps cultural literacy, it helps all these different things. And so when you think about just how narrow the definition a lot of people have is of the word spiritual, you can start to see that when you broaden that out, you start to get into a spiritual buffet. And even if you are serving yourself from one particular section or one particular dish on that spiritual buffet because of your own personal beliefs, there are similarities. And a good example actually in the book that I've been reading is the similarity between, for example, mala beads, Buddhist mala beads, where you say you recite a mantra with each bead, and you could do the same mantra 108 times. You could do different mantras. And if you take that and you compare that, say, to the Catholic rosary, that those would be very similar practices in very different belief systems, but you could actually put that practice of reciting a word or a phrase while you tactilely touch these beads, that could be a dish on your spiritual buffet, and then you could serve yourself from that dish regardless of what religious practice you have or what spiritual practice you have. Since a lot of people will use mala beads, and those mala beads aren't necessarily tied to Buddhism specifically or tied to any particular religion. And so I know myself, I need different things in different moments. And that's why I like having several different spiritual practices. But I also think it's because it underscores to me that there are no easy answers for spiritual storytelling. There are no easy answers for having people relook at and reclaim their spiritual stories. And so, you know, along those lines, I think we need to look at that buffet table. We need to kind of take a step back, look at broader practices, look at why those practices may help. And when we do that, we are going to see that they all work together because they all help in different ways. And what I hope to do is on a future podcast or maybe blog post, and I'm going to try to start recording those blog posts as well, so you'll see them in the podcast feed, is to talk about what role each of my different modalities has within spiritual storytelling. And so while I do offer, for example, yoga or meditation, we can also take that with a wider lens and use that in conjunction with a larger spiritual practice or a larger spiritual coaching or spiritual mentorship practice. So I hope this helped kind of explains the spiritual buffet table and why I like to serve myself and serve other people from a spiritual buffet table rather than limit myself to just one thing. It works with my brain. It helps us find the answers that work because not everything works for every situation and not every modality works for everybody. And, you know, it keeps things interesting too. So I hope you have found this interesting. If you have thoughts, comments, questions, please feel free to leave them. And if you would like to book a discovery call and see just how my work can help you begin to uncover your spiritual stories and reconnect with yourself and with the wider world, I want you to visit feathermanesoul.com, and there is a button there on the main page to book a call. I look forward to talking with you and coming to you again with another episode soon. Thank you. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kailstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. Kit's passionate about embodied living and finding authentic joy by connecting with yourself and others. Kit loves working with neurodivergent, chronically ill, or disabled individuals, as well as anyone who wants to reclaim the stories and find new stories for them. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting the podcast website and following the links to Muse Charmer. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow the podcast at your favorite podcast listening or social media site. Thank you.